Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody. Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I am Mike.
And I'm John.
And today's date is Sunday, February 18th, 2024. Probably not too much of a long show today. We don't have a lot to go over. It's pretty much all just kind of coaching stuff. We'll start off with some little big news that came our way over the last couple weeks. We've been working on something. We threw it out there earlier this week on Twitter when it was official. But we've joined as a partnership, a podcasting network called Big Banter Sports. Basically, their focus is on the Big Ten. And they have kind of a centralized podcast, the Big Ten Huddle. I don't know how many people have listened to it. I've listened to a few episodes going into this whole thing, just to try to get a feel for the whole thing. And, you know, I really like it. And I think his name's JR. He does a good job at running that show. So Big Ten Huddle is kind of like their big show. And then they have other shows similar to ours, but for every kind of school, usually broken down between basketball and football. For all the Big Ten schools, they obviously are not fully every Big Ten school yet, but I do believe that their goal by the time season rolls around, that they want to have everybody school for podcast for every school. So we will be representing the Ohio State Buckeyes, most specifically Ohio State football. So we're excited about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. It's a great network.
Yeah. And I will be, I will be on the Big Ten Huddle, I believe the 27th. I have to recheck the calendar. But so that's coming up next week. So, check me out as I will be, representing us on Big Ten Huddle. So here we go. So we're pretty excited about that. All right. So, We speaking of us mainly covering football, and we will get the football stuff at the end of the episode in the second part of it. But we don't do a lot of basketball on here. We've talked about multiple times that we're not hardcore college basketball followers. We do like it. I do watch Ohio State games here and there throughout the season, but I'm much more of a casual follower of Ohio State basketball, unlike I am with the football team. And obviously I'm a huge nut when it comes to, the March Madness and stuff, as I especially love opening weekend. So I like to take off work and stuff like that. And, Thursday, Friday is wall to wall basketball. That is fun. So I like to have fun with it. Now, the last couple of years for Ohio State has been far from fun. As Chris Holtman seems like a really good guy. I don't know a lot about him, outside that, he did a good job. He was one with Butler previously. He was a good coach, and Ohio State kind of took a chance on him, and then after kind of taking a chance on him, they really did a kind of, when they did a contract extension for him, I think that's kind of where a lot of things went haywire for Gene on this hire. And he was scared that somebody was going to come in and try to take him. At that point, I hadn't seen a lot to say, okay, if somebody comes in and tries to take him, then okay, then you go get another coach. Like, I didn't see where the logic was to give him a big contract extension, but that was just me. And the last 2 years have been miserable. I mean, there's no easy way to put it for Ohio State. Even in Gene's own words, this is a team that should be competing to win the Big Ten pretty much every year and, make a few deep runs in the playoffs. Like, nobody, that is, I think, a reasonable expectation for the Ohio State men's basketball program. Like, nobody is expecting them to win national titles. Like, if you would get one, that is unbelievable. But it's not like the football team. Like, Gene, when he fired that, he literally said, the goals of this program is kind of be in the middle of the pack in the top 25 basically every year, compete on winning the Big Ten pretty much every year. And every now and then you get a great team that makes runs to the Final Four, which kind of ironic because that's what exactly what Thad did.
Yeah. My biggest problem with Holtmann was he recruited well. It's just, I mean, in basketball is, you know, I don't know a ton about college basketball. What I do know about college basketball is talent can carry you a long way. At least it used to. You know, I don't know if the game's changed that much or not. Like I said, I haven't followed it that closely, but talent can carry you a long way. And he's had really good teams or really good recruiting classes. Yes. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why they can't go further with the team. I mean, he only got out of the first round one time in the few tournaments he made, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not, and it every year was the same. It would, you'd start out hot in the non-conference, and then it would kind of like, you know, plateau, and then it would be terrible. And then it would be a really good end of the season to carry you into the Big Ten tournament where he'd usually make a decent run. And then he loses the first week or first game of the tournament. So seems like a nice guy, recruited well, but I mean, something wasn't, he wasn't, his game didn't work to what he was recruiting to.
Yeah. And when you bring up the thing is that, you know, talent can lead you really far away in college basketball. You know, that is true. Basketball is different than football. You get the couple right pieces and the couple right spots, like, you know, it goes a lot farther in basketball than it can go in football. Point and Tank, when you think about, like, think about, you know, Thad's first great recruiting class, you know, when he had Odin and that group, you know, Odin had how many injury problems throughout the whole season?
Yeah.
But then he was healthy for the tournament. And he literally almost single-handedly won them the national title. You know, and they, yeah. You know, he had a couple big games in there. And, you know, he had especially a big game in the championship.
Right. I mean, and that's what he was the best player on the court in the championship game. And that was almost enough. If they would have had their normal 3-point shooting in that game, they would have beat Florida.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, Holtmann did do a good job recruiting, but when you kind of compare and contrast him to Thad, and that's what we have right now. We just have compare and contrast, you know, Thad. I mean, the last couple of years of Thad, he went 18-18 in the Big Ten. And I believe the last two seasons, I believe Holtmann had 9 wins total in the conference before he gets here terminated last week.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know what more to like to say over that, you know, like, I'm glad they did it. You know, I think Gene on his way out, I think the biggest thing I was worried about with Gene is because, you know,
sorry,
the biggest things that Gene is going to, his legacy is going to get tied to at Ohio State is Ryan Day and Chris Holt, because that those were kind of, you know, he took a big shot on Ryan Day, you know, he took a big shot on Chris Holtmann. And I think that obviously there's others to go to the legacy. You know, they've built a lot of stadiums. They've done a lot of great things with the things. It's the most powerful athletic program department in the country. I mean, very few people can argue with that. The amount of money that they bring in and, you know, the fact that they can have as many sports as they do. I mean, Gene's legacy is really set, but his legacy was never going to be set on, you know, who he hired to be the women's basketball coach. And the women's basketball coach, they're doing a great thing. They're doing a good job right now. Great job. But that was never where his legacy was going to rest. I mean, his main legacy is going to rest on Ryan Day, but a big part of that was going to be Holtmann too. So I was always kind of nervous, been like, I hope he just does not kick this can and let Ross Bjork take care of it all. Like, what he should do is he should just, you know, he should take care of this as he's still the athletic director. And I'm glad he did that. He kind of admitted his mistake with that. And, you know, Ross Bjork's now, because he's going to come in March as an advisor. You know, obviously, he's still not taking over till July 1st. But, you know, it seems like he's going to be a big part in this hiring process come up. And there's some guys out there that they could go after. And, you know, they're not going to get Calipari money or anything like that. But, yeah. You know, there's some guys out there that they could throw some real money to. And I think that, you know, it was right for Gene to make this decision and, you know, basically kind of maybe hopefully fix the wrong before, you know, anymore. And now it really is going to be on Ross Bjork. He gets to be a part of the next hire, and he's going to have a lot of input on the next guy. So I think he probably is already, you know, over in his, he's kind of a lame duck right now at Texas A&M. He's probably already called a few people, start gauging interest and stuff like that. Some agents. So, you know, I think that was good on Gene for, you know, kind of doing this now.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, that's not something that you want your first job to be as a new athletic directors have to, you know, fire a guy or wait for him to have another bad year and then fire him. So, and now all you got to do is look is to replace him, which, I mean, that's not going to be easy because that's going to be your first thing you do as you come in. You got to make a good hire, but it's probably better than, you know, the alternative, I would think. I don't know. I mean, both are rough, but Gene had to do what he had to do. The time was now for Holtmann, so I'm okay with it.
And with this next hire, I think what they need to really kind of push for, Thad understood this. Like, Thad played some decent non-conference games, but he lost some. I mean, he played Florida the 1 year. He played North Carolina a couple times. Yeah. I mean, he had some big games in there. And the thing with Ohio State basketball, and I think Thad got this, and I don't think Holtmann did, and the next guy has to, is that we are what we are. Nobody is paying attention to the basketball program until mid-January at the earliest. And, you know, and especially now that signing day has, you know, the second signing day has become less important. It pretty much is mid-January, but now you're at the playoffs. I mean, you could be pushing a national title game now into mid-January. So, like, if Ohio State, as far as the football team is going, the less attention is going to the basketball team. Right. So, like, and Thad's teams were always geared up to be ready to go by February. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did pretty good. They did okay in December. They played some tough games in there. He would always front load with some good teams around the country. You know, they might win them. They might lose them. It didn't really matter. That was about experience. And then the Big Ten would come on. And they, you know, they would always start off January pretty good. And then they would always be ready to go by February. He always knew the minute that TV knob got turned on to Ohio State basketball by the Ohio State fan base, that he was going to give them something to watch. And, you know, he got that. And I think the new coach needs to understand that, like, look, it's nothing against you. You still have a lot of resources at your disposal and stuff like that. But football is God, kill king, you know, whatever you want to say about it, to the Ohio State fan base. And that, like, you just need to be ready to go for February and take that into March and actually have success into March. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody's going to crucify you if, you know, obviously the goal is you want to win championships. Like, I'm not hiring somebody who's going to come and say, I just want to make the tournament. No, I want to hire somebody who says, like, I want to win national titles. Right. I want that. But, you know, nobody's going to, like, you ain't going to get fired if all your best you can do is Elite Eights and Final Fours. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like, so, like, you know, where the football code, you know, Ryan Day, you know, that could be a little different as, you know, now the playoffs are getting expanded there, that, you know, there is going to get a point as if the best you can do is only get to the Final Four in football, like, there'd be like, okay, this ain't good enough. And, you know, it's, you know, time to, you know, move on.
Right.
Like, you know, so I just think that they just need to find a guy that really understands it. You see what basketball culture in the state of Ohio is. It's not like in other states, you know, football is what it is. And, you know, but, you know, you can get a very dedicated fan base behind you if you're successful. And, you know, Ohio State had a dedicated fan base behind them during that. You know, it wasn't Kentucky, it wasn't Duke, but, you know, it was in Kansas, but right. it was legit. And, you know, I just think that, you know, I mean, God, you see the last couple of weeks. I mean, I know they have a hard time filling out Value City Arena, and that's probably another discussion for another day, that, you know, maybe we need a new basketball arena.
Right,
maybe
it's
time to renovate St. John's and stuff like that. You know, bring basketball back there. But, like, you know, that they're only getting like 5,000 people, it seems like, at these games. They barely filling out the lower bowl, and let alone you're thinking about getting anybody up in the upper bowl. I mean, that's pathetic.
I mean, it's not a good look for any revenue generating Ohio State team, you know? So they definitely, it's something they got to look at. You're correct on that, because that's not a good look. You don't like seeing, you know, 2/3 of a empty stadium, empty arena.
So on possible guys that are being thrown out there. So they've, you know, this that Paris guy from South Carolina. I know he's from Ohio.
Lamont Paris. Yeah, he's a good coach. He's from he played at Worcester. He's from Findlay.
Yeah. So obviously Sean Miller is right down the road, and Xavier, obviously a person that they could look at. There's connections there with some old people in the program and the Miller family. You know, you have, I know a lot of people have thrown out, his name is slipping me right now, the guy down at Baylor. I know he's connected to the Midwest somewhere. You know, he's had some successful teams at Baylor, you know.
Yeah, I think, what, was he Butler or Scott Drew from Baylor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The only thing with that, though, is he's won a national title recently. He's been at Baylor for like 20 years. I mean, I don't see how you pull him, but.
Yeah, but you might be able to up his pay. Like, you know, I mean, you might be able to, I don't know what he's necessarily making, but you might be able to give him a little bit more money. And, you know, maybe he's maybe at the spot in Baylor where he's, you know, he wants a different challenge. I know some people have thrown out one of the coaches down in one of the smaller Florida schools. I can't think of whether it's Florida Atlantic or Florida International. Is that McDermott, I think?
I don't know.
I could be wrong on that one, but I know he has connections to the Midwest too. Jay Wright. I mean, I know a lot of people have thrown out Jay Wright's name. I know he was very close to Holtman, so I don't know if he would take the job. But I make the guy say no to me. Like, they better be calling him and being like, you know, would you want to come coach at Ohio State? I mean, obviously his success at Villanova was unbelievable. You know,
right?
Like, and you think about a coach that even had some success. I don't know. Necessarily they could get him because of where he was previously, but, you know, and he's older, but maybe Beilein, and, you know, maybe you bring Beilein in with a good assistant younger coach with the idea that, you know, you're gonna stabilize the program, and then we're gonna turn this over to, when you're ready to go, we'll turn this over to the young guy that, you know, is there. So, you know, there's some options out there that I think Ohio State, I don't think that they're.
Does Brad Stevens want to get back into coaching?
Maybe.
Like, I don't know what the Celtics pay him to be president. I'm sure it's good gig.
He seems like, he doesn't seem like he's in like any hurry to go back to college. So I think he enjoys what he's doing up there, but you know, hey, call an agent and find out. You never know. Right. There's some guys out there, you know, I don't think they're going to get self out of Kansas. Like, this isn't the football team. Just like the, you know, we just said the basketball team's nothing like the football team. It's like that with the coaches too. They're not, Calipari isn't coming to Columbus. You know, Bill Self's not coming to Columbus, but, you know, I'm still calling the agent of Coach K and be like, hey, you
know, like, right.
Can you just say no now and get it over with? Or are you a maybe? Because if you're a maybe, we want to talk. Like,
he's retired.
Yeah. So I don't know. So there's some guys out there, some younger guys, some older guys. I mean, there's some options to think and go. I think they could throw some good money at a person. I think that, you know, been a stable coach and bring the stability back to the program to the point where they really should be. Cause like, I think what Gene's vision of what the basketball team is correct. They should really be that. I mean, you are the richest athletic program in the country. Like, if schools like Texas can have, in Oklahoma and Alabama recently, if they can have success in basketball, Ohio State can have success
right.
in
basketball.
True. You know, true. Obviously you think about Florida back in the day, you know, if he can have success, if Billy Donovan has success and you're not getting him out of Chicago, I know some people have thrown that around there, but I believe he's in Chicago now. I could be,
I couldn't tell you, man.
Yeah. So, I just, if those programs can have success at basketball where they're mainly football schools, Ohio State can be successful at basketball when they're mainly a football school. So just my thought, definitely I thought it was the right decision to remove him. Just get it over with. Sometimes you just got to rip that band-aid. And I was glad to see Gene did it. So that's that on basketball, football coaching. So the 10th coach has finally been announced. It's a name that we have talked a lot about, and that is James Laurinaitis. So we're very, very happy. I think just us talking in privately and a little bit on here, like, I think we were both down to the same philosophy that it either should be James or they should bring in another defensive line coach to learn under LJ, to eventually take that over. And so I'm glad that's what they did. I was getting a little nervous when they were throwing out there that, like, well, maybe we should bring in another special teams coach. I'm like, my God, are we just not going to learn?
We just did this.
It's like, you know, somebody on this team can coach special teams. That's already in place. Like, you know, we need an actual coach, another actual coach on the defense that can bring both recruiting chops and coaching ability and experience, you know, NFL type of experience to it. And so James fit all those boxes, man. He has the, you know, he has the NFL experience. He's played in the league for a long time, was very successful in the league, you know, and, you know, he's obviously an ex-Buckeye. He obviously loves the school very much so. And I think that he's going to be another mold of Tim Walton and Brian Hartline. Like, that's just my opinion. We'll see if I'm proven wrong. But I think that we're probably going to start seeing some big time linebackers in the high school recruiting ranks start falling our way again. And it's been kind of a minute since that's happened. So, like, you know,
I mean that especially, I mean, we got lucky a couple years ago. There was a great class from Ohio, even though, you know, that's still to be seen what that's going to turn into or not. But yeah, it's been a minute since we were getting high 4-star, 5-star linebackers. So I think James is going to bring that. Just like Brian Hartline, I think he has a great personality. He's young. He is passionate about where he's coaching. He knows the sport. He played a long time at the professional level. So I think it's a home run hire. And just real quick, Buckeye fans are just insane people. I mean, one, all year it's been, do we know that James is even a good coach, that Tommy and Steele have taken a step back? And then it turns into, oh, he's interviewing with the Browns. Ryan Day is going to fumble this. How can't you hire the guy? And
we're an emotional fan base.
I gotta relax every now and then.
Something else that a new basketball coach will not have to worry about. Like, Chris Holtmann did that to himself. Like,
I know. Like, if you have Thad's career at Ohio State, maybe even a little under Thad, just close to what he was doing, you're gonna be fine. Just, you can't, you know, he can't start sliding at the end. But yeah, I mean, Buckeye fans.
Woo. Yeah.
No, I get that. It's a trip some of the time.
We're emotional people. What can I say? We do live and die by that, the football team. And
I think it's a home run hire, though. I think he'll be fine. I mean, he knows a ton. And he has so many resources also, you know, like, he's close with Bobby and AJ. I mean, was it Steve Spagnuolo? Like, who was his defensive court? So, I mean, he's got a lot of people to bounce ideas off of. And, you know, if things are going wrong, he's going to be fine. And it's a great hire.
He's also close to Greg Williams. I mean, he knows a lot of different people. And I've said this before when we've talked about this. I listen a lot to Bo Bishop's show down in Columbus. And anybody who ever listened to James on there and can't say that James doesn't know what the hell he's talking about is, like, ridiculous. Like, he understands football. He understands the game, and he can talk football. He can talk, and he can relate to these kids on their level. That's why I think he's going to be great at recruiting. He's going to sell the Ohio State brand. He's going to have the energy. But most importantly, he's been in the league for a long time, and he understands this. He's played under a lot of different defenses. And, like, so I think he knows a lot of different ways of how to coach these guys. And I think he's going to be fine. I know they say that, you know, Steele and Tommy went down a little bit, but to be fair, I think the defense was a lot more aggressive last year than it was this year. So
The philosophy of the defense completely changed. I mean, let's look last year when Tommy and Steele, you know, had to go back into a zone and what they did. Cause I feel like zone coverage for Ohio State linebackers have been terrible for years now. So I don't think that was something that was new to from 22 to 23. I just think Knowles's philosophy in 22 was, I'm going to blitz the hell out of my linebackers up the A gap all the time. And so they were very active. And then in 23, he realized, hey, I got to take a step back, be a little bit more conservative because I got a good enough defense that I can stop guys, you know, on down seven instead of down three. So I just, it was a change of philosophy, and I don't think it was necessarily James's fault. I think they were asked to do something that maybe they weren't so comfortable in, but from year to year, you're going to get better at that philosophy. So
yeah,
I don't, I'm looking forward to it. I think he's a great hire. I don't think you play in the NFL that long. Not know, you can't play in the NFL for any length of time and not know what the hell you're doing. Like, you know, that's just, everyone's fast in the NFL. You got to have the brain to do it too.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously, I mean, he's, like I said, he's very, very smart. Anybody ever listened to him on when he was on the radio understands that. Like,
no, even when he's Big Ten Network. He's a smart guy.
He's very cerebral. He understands the game of football. And you know, and I think the biggest thing with coaching is you got to be able to relate to kids, and you got to be smart enough in it to be able to coach it. And I think he has both of that. So I think they'll be fine. And maybe this takes, and I think where also this is good, this probably takes a little bit off of Knowles' plate. So Jim Knowles can get the whole alpha personality thing figured out between him and LJ, because I think, honestly, I think the biggest issues at times on the defense is that those two are just not clicking somewhere. And I think that needs to, like, you know, I think that needs to be addressed. And I think much more happier now that, you know, they have somebody full time in the linebacker role that, you know, Jim can get the whole defense figured out as a whole and make sure they're all playing on the same exact level with each other.
And guess what? You know who's still there coaching the defense? Jim Knowles. So let James go get him the studs that he does not like to go recruit. And, you know, and he can always be a resource to help coach these kids up too.
Yeah, exactly. So very excited about that. One thing on the coaching staff I wanted to bring up, and I believe it was the podcast, their daily show this week. So, or it might have been on, like, they had a mail show this week. I think it was them. I don't think it was the Bucknuts guys, but I've listened to a couple podcasts from both this week. So Alford and
Fry are the only two that did not get extensions.
Yeah, correct. So they're on an expiring. Their contract's expired, right? So like they have not been fully re-upped yet. Like, or maybe they're still negotiating it, because that. They were under the impression of the podcast that their contracts ran out at the end of January 2024 too, and that technically they're not on contract, but maybe that they're officially working something out. And because I know we heard that Alford might have been possibly somebody that they were looking at UCLA, but we haven't heard anything about any one of them, either one of them leaving. So I got to figure that maybe they're just waiting on the board or whatever to approve the contract before they make it official. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I mean, that could be. I thought they were through 24, but I didn't even think about that. It might be expired this year. So I don't know what that means. Oh, I'm not going to waste time trying to look up their contracts right now, but that's interesting. Fry, I mean, I don't know. I don't see them.
Don't see them going anywhere.
You can't make a change this year, but I don't know. They're probably renegotiating or something. We'll see.
I'm wondering if maybe, you know, maybe they're trying to give them each a little bit more money. Hopefully the board of trustees is that, like, how much money are we going to be passing out?
Did you see our line against Missouri?
My God, you guys, we're paying these coaches more money than some programs pay head coaches. I think probably is that maybe they're working a couple things out. Maybe there's still a couple kinks in it, but it's just funny that they didn't mention either one of them. But I think everybody has been mentioned at some point this year. Like, you know, it's something, with maybe the exception of Hartline, but I know Hartline was still under contract.
Hartline already got extended, didn't he, when he got his promotion to offensive coordinator?
Yeah
we'll see.
I don't know, but I don't see them making any more like changes there. And I guess just real quickly, and then we'll get out of here. Just some of the thoughts on the Michigan stuff. It's, you know, there's, you know, so it seems like everything's been finalized up there. The coaching, I've seen some Michigan people like, you know, say how, well, we've gotten better on the coaching staff. Like I love their
optimism
with some of that stuff, but like,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know a lot of about the coaches that they got. I mean, it'll be interesting. Like their DB coach is, you know, a young guy from the South. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's a big deal.
I don't know how you can say that anything like that, because, you know, the Michigan defense, it was pretty damn good over the last
couple of years. You can't come off of a national title and like your defense has been amazing for, I can't believe I'm saying that, but 3 years, you know, with their coordinators, and then like a guy that's been fired a couple times in the NFL, you're just like, you know, we're better now. Like, no, I don't think necessarily. I mean, maybe end of the day, yeah, sure, but not today. You're not.
Yeah. So, I think some of that's interesting. Well, I think that one is going to be, you know, I'm looking forward to diving here in the spring and stuff like that, because it's interesting how some of these programs we're going to like start, like kind of how we're going to start kind of like ranking some of these teams, because, you know, where is Michigan? Are they falling off some? Like, I think their win loss total was set at 9.5 by Vegas. So, you know, is that over and under? You know, I think most people agree that it's coming down to Oregon, Ohio State. You know, are they're probably going to, a lot of people think they're going to play twice, possibly three times this coming year. Like, you know, that with that, I just think there's a, you know, how's things going to change in Nebraska? How good are they going to be? You know, what's Luke looking like up at Wisconsin? How are the new teams out West going to fare in the Big Ten? So, a lot of interesting storylines. Like, is James Franklin, I mean, what's Penn State going to look like? You know, is this going to be his finally the year he makes the playoffs, or is he just going to crap the bed? Like,
James Franklin will make the playoffs like the 12th seed or something like that. Maybe win one game. Who knows?
So I don't know. There'll be a lot of interesting talking points coming up. Excited, you know, it's weird. College football just doesn't have really an off date anymore. I mean, we're kind of like in this. It's like right now, and then right after spring are probably like the slowest times of the year. But even now, it's like there's just stuff still trickling out.
Right. Time, yeah. So. I mean, it's just that's the nature of the game now. I mean, it's just you get news all year. So
yeah,
doesn't
the combine coming up and the, you know, the draft. So, you know, we'll be talking Buckeye stuff.
Hey, Michigan did have the most. They have the record for most combine invites. So. I tell you what, the team, like, you know, they're generational. I still don't see it. I just always, you know, they're well coached. I mean, they're one of the most well coached, most fundamental teams I'd seen, but I still don't think they have the star power of those SEC teams that we've seen the last couple of years. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will have the most guys drafted, but you can't, it can't all be like fifth, sixth, seventh round guys either. Like,
yeah.
And I know they're going to have plenty in the top half of the draft. I understand that. I'm not trying to say Michigan is just full of seventh round talent, but it's just, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I guess maybe they are better than what I'm giving them credit for.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to hit on before we get on out of here?
No, just check us out on Big Banter and looking forward to this next part.
Yeah, pretty sure I'll be on the 27th, but I'll double check it, and I will, at the end of this week, I'll start kind of promoting that I will be on over there. So definitely check me out over there, and keep following us on here on Buckeye Bar Talk. So let's call it a day.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in today to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.